It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW Green Bay and the Green Bay Packers partner to offer a non-credit certificate course on the history of one of the oldest and most successful NFL franchises. Call in with a question or comment as we explore the important milestones in pro football and the personalities from Packers history. The number to join in is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brent Hensel is curator of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. Brent, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So why create this course program?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity to collaborate with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. I've actually taught a course there a number of years ago on Packers history, where we collaborated with the history department. And it was pretty successful. But this is an opportunity to reach people from not just Wisconsin, but all over the country and, hey, perhaps even all over the world, since it is online.
Part of, as you mentioned, history, part of this course explores the origins of American football, you know, dating back to the late 1800s and roots in soccer and in rugby. How did football take hold as a popular sport here in Wisconsin?
It really took place on the campuses, the universities. They'd play it basically on the lawn. And the origins, like I said, as you mentioned, the origins really started with soccer and rugby. So the game would not be anything like we know for American football today. In fact, like, they would have been kicking the ball more. It would have much been closer to soccer or rugby than what we think of now.
Padding much different than today.
In fact, there wouldn't have been any padding.
No padding.
When American football first started out, if you wore any kind of padding, you were considered not a technical term, but we're considered kind of like a wimp or a sissy.
The Packers were organized in August of 1919, and your course describes those early years of the Packers as a constant struggle for survival. What challenges did the team face early on?
Mainly financially. I mean, it was a constant struggle to survive. At that time, how they made money was they made money by whatever they brought into the gate. And that's basically whatever tickets they could sell. In fact, in the early days, it was called they didn't even sell tickets. It was called passing the hat. And basically people like the co-founders, like George Whitney Calhoun, would go around, take off his hat, and people would throw in spare change. Eventually, they did build like bleachers and a fence, and they would collect tickets. But we always think of the Packers as this iconic franchise that, oh, you can't wait until it's cold out or the frozen tundra. Well, at that time, weather did play a factor in going to the games, especially rain and rainfall, and they couldn't account for that. And so a lot of times, like, if the weather was terrible, then they wouldn't bring very many fans in at the gate, and then they wouldn't actually be able to pay the bills. And so they'd get themselves in financial debt. And a lot of times, really, it's one of the great stories of Packers history is November 1922. The Packers are in the red because of constant rainfall in the month of November. They're going to do a Thanksgiving booster game to raise money and get out of debt. And then there's tons of rainfall again. They're talking about canceling this Thanksgiving Day booster game. And then local leaders step forward and told them to actually play the game and we'll support you later on. And this is where they eventually, December that year, a number of business leaders met, and that's where they decided to have their first stock sale, which went forward in 1923. That summer, they sold stock at $5 a share and raised enough money to get out of debt. And this is where the Packers actually became publicly owned. And so owned by the fans, owned by you and I.
It's so interesting going back to you mentioned George Whitney Calhoun, the newspaper editor. I didn't realize how the Green Bay Press Gazette is also so much part of the origin story.
It really is. I mean, they have been a great partner with the Packers going back to the very beginning. They always basically they were kind of a PR machine. They helped promote the Packers. Calhoun would write stories in the Press Gazette, talking up the team, trying to get people to come to the game and sell tickets. And so he'd promote. I'll give you an example. In 1919, when they were just an amateur team starting out, he would the week leading up to a game, he would say the greatest team ever is coming to play the Packers, and then they beat them like 70-0. And go on because they basically outscored opponents 565-12 in that inaugural season. So it's a constant game of trying to get people to come out and support the Packers.
Earl Lambeau, co-founder, franchise head coach until 1949. What do you wish more people knew about Earl Lambeau?
Well, really, basically, that there would not be the Green Bay Packers without Earl "Curly" Lambeau. He's really the co-founder. He really came up with this iconic franchise. He started out as basically the captain, co-founded it with Calhoun, and then the other thing is everybody knows Vince Lombardi and that the Packers won two Super Bowls, five championships, but under Lambeau's reign, they actually won six NFL championships. They actually won three straight, like they did under Lombardi. It was different. There wasn't a playoff system. It was based on standings. But Lambeau is one of the great early figures in professional football.
Brent Hensel, curator for the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, previewing the launch of a non-credit certificate program on Packers history offered through UW Green Bay. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW Green Bay teams up with the Green Bay Packers to offer this new non-credit certificate course on the NFL team's storied history. We preview the program as classes get underway next month. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brent Hensel is here, curator of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. Let's take a call. Nick is in Madison. Nick, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, I'm from Beloit, and I recently worked down there. And I talked to more than one person who grew up there or from there regarding the Green Bay Packers coming to Beloit to play a team put together by Fairbanks Morse, which I believe they were called the Beloit Fairies for Fairbanks Morse. And they beat the Packers in 19, it was like 1919, 1920, 21. Is that a known fact?
Nick, thank you. Yes, Brent, go ahead.
That's a great question. Thanks for calling. Yes, it's a great segue when I was talking about in 1919, how the Packers outscored their opponents 565-12. Well, they only had one loss that season, and that was actually to the Beloit Fairies. The interesting story is it was officiated by a local man named George Zip Zabel. He was a former professional baseball player. And if you read The Green Bay Press Gazette from the day before, or the day after the game, the headline screamed that the Packers were robbed because this official actually called back three different touchdowns that would have helped the Packers win the game. But if you read the actual Beloit newspaper, there's no mention of the controversy. So that was the one loss the Packers had that initial season in 1919.
Oh, Nick, thanks for calling in. Looking at the rivalries, the Packers and the Bears, Chicago Bears, two of the oldest NFL franchises, how did the rivalry between these two teams begin?
Interestingly enough, the Bears did not actually want to play the Packers. As I talked earlier, it was always about what kind of money you could make at the gate, and trying to keep afloat, not in debt, in those early days. And so the Packers didn't view the Bears or the Bears didn't view the Packers as someone that would make them a lot of money, which ironically, later on, the Bears would become one of the biggest supporters of the Packers because of this great rivalry and how important they thought it was to the NFL. A lot of the small town teams would die off by the late 1920s, yet the Packers were always amongst the best teams, and so they were always supported. But eventually, the Packers and Bears did actually play. And the reason that the Bears were really looking for, they needed an opponent because, as I mentioned, there was no championship game at this time. It was all based on standings, and there wasn't like a set schedule. Like now, you play in a division, and you're always going to play the Bears twice, once at home, once in away. It didn't work that way at that time. So they were looking for opponents, and I maybe even looking for like an easy win. And so they eventually scheduled a game late in the season, the first time the Packers played the Bears. And so, but eventually it does lead to a great rivalry. George Halas and Curly Lambeau are really amongst the two co-founders for their teams, or the founders for each great franchise. And they're also really founders of the early National Football League.
Just talk a little bit more about the team and the franchise being publicly owned. I mean, the team publicly owned now for a century. How does that set Green Bay apart?
Well, it's something that they're the only publicly owned team in the United States. In fact, the NFL has they're basically grandfathered in, so it can never happen again where there wouldn't be an owner. So it just makes it really unique. And our tour guides at Lambeau Field like to tell sometimes, well, when they're giving a tour, we'll tell this great story where they were getting into the elevator with Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys owner.
Yes.
And they're talking to Jerry and they're like, well, we have a lot in common. And Jerry's like, what? We have a lot in common? I'm like, yeah, we both own NFL franchises. And he got a kick out of that. So on our stadium tours, we like to say, hey, you're likely going on a tour with somebody that is an owner of the Green Bay Packers. Where else can you say you went on a Lambeau Field tour with an owner of NFL franchise?
I see that type of energy in the Lambeau Leap. How did that become part of the tradition after a touchdown?
Well, that's that's a great story. In fact, the founder of the Leap, Leroy Butler, who was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, tells it much better than I can. But really, he it was December 26, 1993, and a fumble was caused. Reggie White, the late great Reggie White, picked it up and spontaneously tossed it back to Butler, and he ran down the sidelines and he just saw some fans that looked inviting to him, and he spontaneously jumped in the stands. and started a tradition. And they really didn't know what they started. It didn't pick up steam the first couple of years, or they didn't like actually call it the Lambo Leap. That didn't come out till a few years later when Robert Brook created a rap song. And even with that, they didn't. It just gradually took place, and now is one of the great traditions that the Packers have.
Talking with Brent Hensel, curator for the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. Just a nod here to Family Night being tomorrow at Lambeau and broadcast around the state. How meaningful is that event to Packers history?
It's another really unique tradition from the Packers that's really unique to their specific franchise. There's not other NFL teams where basically they hold a practice and over 50,000 fans or more will come out and watch that practice in the Lambeau Field. It's a great opportunity where fans that can bring their children or bring small kids. It's very family oriented, so they can actually see a game where during the regular season, maybe it's not actually feasible, but it's a great atmosphere, and it's an exciting look at the new team ahead.
Well, I think we're going to have to start calling you Professor Brent Hensel. Do you see a future for this course program?
I hope so.
Okay.
We're getting close to, I think it's close to being sold out,
Oh,
and so
awesome.
I think we're actually going to offer it again in the winter,
Okay.
spring.
Well, Brent, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Brent Hensel is curator of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.